Thank you, Jesus. Open in your Bibles quickly, if you would, the book of Nehemiah. If you don't know where Nehemiah is, it's just before Esther. Kind of close to Ezra. It's kind of toward the front of your book. If you go to the middle and turn left, you'll eventually find it. Just keep flipping till you see the big N. Name. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble that we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be a disgrace." This message troubles me. Looked at it for a long time. And I want you to understand what it is that I'm saying. Because it's very important. And I need your help and I need God's help to be able to deliver this message. I sat down and I started typing and putting all of it together. And usually I number my pages immediately. Didn't do that this time. So day before yesterday, I realized that I had not numbered my pages. So I went in and added page numbers to the bottom in the center. And I was shocked. If I preach all of this, it will take me a month. Just letting you know. But I went back and I cried and I prayed over every page. I took out one word out of all of it. So would you just pray with me for a moment, please? Gracious Father, I need your help. I want to deliver this message with authority, yet tenderness. I want your thought to be my thought. I want to speak what you've laid upon my heart in clarity so that it's understood. What a vast gift you've given us. What an awesome opportunity you've afforded this church. God, I'm so grateful to share with this congregation your special, special blessings. Give me clarity of mind. And tenderness of heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Nehemiah continued on. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me, and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. So we began the work. You and I are the gateway of God. That's a huge responsibility. So I'll say it again so that you have an understanding of it. You and I are the gateway of God. A gateway of a city has a tremendously important function. Anybody that goes into that city has to go through the gateway. You and I are one of the gateways to God. People will come through us going to Him. We are supposed to be the conduit to get them from where they are to where God wants them. We can take part with God in doing that. What an honor that has been afforded to us, that we can work hand in hand with the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, with God, to see lives changed, hearts touched. You remember the story of Jacob when he was running from his brother. Jacob fell asleep that night in the wilderness with his head laying on a rock. While he was there sleeping, he had a dream of a ladder that reached from where he was to heaven. Of course, there was angels going up and down. I imagine it was a spectacular event. When he awakened, he said in Genesis 28, 12 through 17, I'm not going to try and read all of that. He had a dream in which he saw the stairway resting on earth, and the top of it was in heaven. And he proclaimed, this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. If we're really the household of God, then we are the gate of heaven. We are that entering point. We are that passing point. The church, no matter where she exists, becomes the gateway of God, because God has put us in this church, and He has put into us as part of this church, as believers, He has placed His kingdom. You and I hold within the very kingdom of God. We're a part of the kingdom of God. We are immersed in the kingdom of God. The power of the kingdom of God is in us. So now we're the gate of heaven, and we're holders of the kingdom of God. We're important people. First, God puts within someone the kingdom, the Spirit, and then He sends them to a place to be a part. And in that place that they have been sent, the kingdom is birthed in the lives of those that are around that person. That's the way it's supposed to work. The man of God, the woman of God, should be so broken that God can pour through them onto all those around them. In other words, you and I should be making an impact everywhere we go. God's seed, God's word, going out of us. God's presence going out of us into everybody that we come in contact with. But you have to be broken for that to happen. And there's too many of us that are not willing to be broken. Churches are brought into existence by broken people. Churches are built up and grow strong because of broken people. Churches thrive wherever they're planted because of broken people. If we're not willing to be broken, then none of those things happen. There's that breaking process that the Holy Spirit puts every one of us through. Now, y'all stay with me. This has got a big foundation. And without a foundation, nothing's going to stand on it. When a church has been established by broken people and has grown up and became strong because of broken people, through that ministry, God begins to reclaim the lost all around. God begins to reclaim hearts and souls, and He brings them in. And they become one and a part of that church full of broken people. And then they become broken. They're filled with God's seed, God's presence, God's blessings, God's word. And then they go out and they leak on everybody that they come in contact with because they're broken and they can't hold it all in. And it just begins to pour on others. And then others begin to get saved and they come in. And we are the gateway of God. You and I have been born again. Most everybody in here. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have been called to walk with God. A part of what that means to be walking with God means that, number one, we're broken before Him. But number two, it means that we're a part of ministry with Him. So that God's principles can rule in the hearts of those that are birthed in Him. That's why we call it reborn. Have you been reborn? Have you been birthed of God? If you're born twice, you die once. But if you are born once, you die twice. When, now this is a big statement. It might be the biggest statement I'm going to make today. I don't know. Because I don't know what I'm going to say yet. So y'all hang on. But I'm going to start off with this one because it's big. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are called to walk with God, when we are called to be broken before Him, and we take that place, then we begin to put a restraint on the evil that surrounds us. We break the authority of the evil that is around us when we're truly that gateway of God, when we're truly the household of God, when we're truly broken people before God, when we are truly filled with the Holy Spirit and we walk with Him, then Satan has to flee. All the evil has to give way. Because it's Christ in us that becomes the hope of glory, and the power that He had, He's given to us. We're a part of His bride, which means we're a part of His family. It means that we are one with Him, and everything that He has, we have. And every time He came in contact with the evil, they fled. And they'll have to do it to us. But the gates have got to be rebuilt. Because we've let it down. John chapter 16 verse 8 says, "And when He, the Spirit, has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." The story of Finney. One day he had been preaching in the Northeast, and tremendous moves of God. And he got on a train, and he was going from one city to another on a train. And suddenly a guy that was sitting next to him jumped up and said, "You convince me of sin. I'm undone." And he fell down and gave his heart to the Lord. And Finney's never said a word to him. Just the presence of God that was in the man. John Brody and I was in Muskegon, Michigan, and we, along with Brother McLean, and somebody else, I don't remember who else was with us, we went to Marie Callender's restaurant. And, oh, they had the best beans and ham you'd ever want to eat in your life. But we went in there and we sat down, and the waitress came over to take our order, and she looked at Brother Brody and she says, "You're a man of God." Brody's blind. He can't see anything. If you'd have looked at him, you'd have never thought he was a man of God. Maybe a derelict, but not a man of God. But he had a presence because he was full of the Spirit. He loved God. He loved God's Word. He loved everything about God. He was a gate, an important gate. So that's point number one, the gate. I've done half of my introduction. I'm going to do the other half later. Y'all stay with me. Every true revival in history, when it came, it brought a restraint on evil in that location. When Charles Finney and some of the other great revivalists of the turn of the century, all the way through the 1940s, when they would go into a city and God would break out in that city, the first thing that happened, bars closed down. Brothels shut their doors. And many times where there was a bar or a honky-tonk, there became a church. When the revival of God takes place, there's a restraint on evil in that location. It does not have the authority. The authority of that evil is broken. There's powers and principalities that have been sent forth into different areas to cause different kind of restraint and interruption on the people of God, on the move of God. But when revival begins to break out and the church becomes who it's supposed to be and we become the people that we're supposed to be, suddenly that restraint is broken, that authority is broken, and the principalities and powers that have been on assignment, their assignment is broken and they have to go back to where they came from because they don't have the authority to stay. You say, "Why are you telling us all of this?" Well, duh. Think about it. Look what's around you. Look at the evil, the drug addiction, the murders, the shootings, the human trafficking that every day is around you. And what restraint have you got on it? "Well, there's nothing I can do." Yes, there is, and I'm telling you what it is. Too many people have said, "There's nothing that I can do. So I'm preaching a message where you know what you can do. Now you got a choice. Are you going to do it or not? Are you going to become that person that God wants you to be or not?" Now I know some of you sitting out there says, "I don't care what you say, I'm not. You can tell me I need to read my Bible. I ain't reading it. You can tell me that I need to testify. I ain't testifying." That's okay. That's okay. That's between you and God. But there's others of you that says, what can I do? I'm telling you what to do. In the Bible, it makes it very plain that God desires to pour Himself through you and me. So that means God has put us here so that He can pour Himself through you and me into this area of Rock Hill, South Carolina, the United States. If we'll have enough of God in us, He will flow out of us, out of here, into this community, and it'll start changing the community, and then it'll flow throughout Rock Hill, and it'll start changing Rock Hill, and then it'll flow right on out through South Carolina, and it'll change South Carolina, and it'll flow, and good grief, it'll touch North Carolina. I know that's tough, but it'll do it. And Georgia. Can anything good come out of Georgia? My mom and daddy did, so yeah. But if we don't become what God wants us to be, and we don't move in that direction, none of that's going to happen. Well, let somebody else do it. No, God's chosen you. If you're saved, if you have the Holy Spirit, if you have a hunger and a thirst after more of God, then you're chosen. God's finger's on you. What you do with it is between you and Him. You need to hear what I'm saying. In the Bible, gate symbolizes nothing more than an opportunity. Every person that walked up to that city, let's say Jerusalem, they stood before the gate. They had to make a choice. That gate was there as an opportunity for them to make entrance or exit. So the gate symbolizes the opportunity of ministry. The gate's not what's spectacular. It's what happens at the gate. That's what becomes spectacular. It is a restoring of those symbols of ministry, those opportunities. The gate that'll produce God's presence in a community. And it is before that presence of God that the devil and evil will flee. Very interesting scripture. You need to plug into this one. You might want to write it down. Psalms 114:2. Now I've read the book of Psalms probably 35, 40 times over the 40 something years I've been in ministry. That verse has never hit me like it did. But Psalms 114:2. Says that Judah was the sanctuary of God. And when the Red Sea saw it, it fled. I quote, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, and all Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan turned back. When God is moving through you, when God is moving through this church, when God inhabits the way that He wants to down within us, there is a power, there is a flow, there is a ministry and a presence that evil can't stand. And you and I have an authority. Jesus gave it to us. Now, a lot of this has come in a little bit different verbiage over the years. You've heard all of this stuff. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. I might be telling you in a way you've never heard it. But if the church is going to be used of God, there must be a strategy and there must be a plan. And there's some ingredients that are necessary. I'll give you the five ingredients. I've kind of put them in your notes. There must be a willing people. If the people's not willing, you're just wasting your time. So there has to be a willing people. Not the people that we are going to, but we that are going to do the going. We that God is calling. If we're not willing. Let me ask you a question. I hadn't heard me say this before. Can you be saved and be unwilling to obey God? Can you be filled with the Spirit and be unwilling to partner with God? And if He says go, you refuse to go. Just a thought. Thinking out loud, right in the middle of my sermon. That happens sometime. Usually it gets me in trouble. But if the people aren't willing, the job's not going to get done. The first thing that Nehemiah had to do was show the people the problem. And then they had to be willing to help, because they were going to rebuild the wall and the gates. The second thing is there must be a noble purpose. People's not going to invest their lives in something that has no purpose and that is not noble or above board. Number three, there has to be a burning passion. If you have no passion, then you won't stick with it. Then there has to be a plan, pretty clear plan, because people have to know what needs to be done and how they're going to do it. But then number five, there has to be a tenacious persistence. You can't start this week and by Monday forget it. So many people are so moved on Sunday, but they can't even remember it on Monday. And so many people, they love the message. Woo, wonderful. As they're going out of the church. But on Wednesday, you ask, what did the preacher preach about? I don't know, but it was good. I don't remember what it was, but it was good. You know, I said that one time, and on the way out, a lady said, what did you preach on last week? I said, I don't know, but it was good. So I'm preaching to me. Understand that. So I've said everything that I've said to bring us to this point, and I'm going to have to quit. If we want to see lives transformed, if we want to see our lives transformed, our church transformed, our community transformed, from a place where Satan feels comfortable to a place where he feels very uncomfortable. If we want those things, then there's some things that we have to do. I believe with all of my heart that what God put in me and you is greater than all the powers of hell. Either it's true that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, or it's a lie. And if that's a lie, then the rest of the book can't be depended on. So what God has put into you, what God has put into me, is greater than all the power that hell can throw against the church, the community, you as an individual, or the United States as a country. The murder rate is horrendous. The sin quotient, if you would, and I'm lumping a whole bunch of things together because I don't have time to name them all, so we'll just call it the sin quotient. It is so huge compared to what it was 10 years ago. You look around, those of you who have been around for at least 10 years, how things have changed. When I entered the ministry, this world was one thing. 40 years later, it's something else. This is a bad place now. There's some hombres out here that don't like you. And some of you are afraid to let other people know you're a Christian because of the ridicule that it may bring. You're afraid to stand up for what's right. You're afraid to stand up and proclaim what God has said because you're going to offend somebody. And that's not PC, politically correct. It's a different world in which we live. But do we have the power that's in us to change that? I say yes. And John 1, 1 John 4, 4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, is still true. It's still powerful. And you and I are here under God to show this community in which we live the power and the love of God. We are here because we have been birthed by His Spirit, and His Spirit dwells in me, and His Spirit called me to this place. God called me to this place to gather men and women around this church. A people that would become a vessel through which God's gospel can flow out into this city and change lives. God called me here so that the angels of God and the power of the Holy Spirit along with us can offset the demonic powers that are in this place. And we can relieve hell of its assignment to cause destruction, kill, steal, and destroy. And we can put it to flight. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, the Bible says. So you and I both know that as we look around, we see Satan is active. Demonic powers are active all around us. They have set themselves against the spreading of God's power, God's gospel, the love of Jesus. They don't like that. Remember what the demon said to Jesus? Have you come to torment us before our time? Yes! And I'm going to enjoy it. Satan has his demonic powers in every inhabited area of the world. And Rock Hill is no exception. They hear. Oh, by the way, they come to church too. Just thought I'd throw that out there. I ain't going to tell you how they get here. But they hitch a ride. Let me close this morning. Until we become the people that God wants us to be. Until we move into the place that God wants us at, to be in. Until we receive what God wants to give us, not too much is going to happen around us. We can go on playing church, singing a few songs, shaking a hand, going home. Or we can come to a filling station and get filled up with God. And we're broken vessels. And then we go out of here and just pour all over people what God has poured into us. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way I want it to work. As we walk through this message, and I've just laid the groundwork this morning. As we walk through this message, I want it to so grip your heart that you can't sit still. I want it to so move and change your life that you become greater than you ever expected to be in the kingdom of God. As we're moving into the Halloween season, people are crawling over themselves to get here. For church, new. But we can give them church anyway. Because if we're broken, as they come, we'll just pour onto them what God has poured onto us. But if he hadn't poured anything on us, then we have nothing to give. Don't give yourself. We give God. Bow your heads with me, would you please? God, it's not enough for us to just go through the motions. It's not enough for us to feel good about us. God, we need to be obedient. We need to be full. We need to be overflowing with your presence and your power. We need to become life changers. Would you help us to do that? Would you help us, Lord? So I'm asking that over these next weeks, you pour yourself into us. Let us become vessels that can be used by you. Vessels are necessary, but they're not important. Only you and what you put in us is what's life-giving and life-sustaining. God, touch every man, woman, and child that's in this building. Use them for your glory and your honor. Let us as individuals and let this place be the gate to heaven. A gateway that others can pass through and go and see the King. Help us to show the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you stand with me, please? There's so many directions that I want to go in. I'm just letting you know. If you'll simply